Ever feel like you're trapped in a never-ending cycle of trying to get your little one to sleep, only to be met with wide eyes and endless energy? I'm Tim, and believe me, you are not alone.
Absolutely, and I'm Edna. We've both seen countless families struggle with this at our daycare and parenting coaching clients. So many parents we work with think they have a night owl on their hands, but it might actually be something else entirely.
Exactly. That's why today we're diving into the fascinating world of baby sleep and exploring whether your little one is truly a night owl or just bored. We're calling this episode Night Owl or Just Bored? Unlocking Your Baby's Sleep Secrets.
We're going to be unpacking what's really going on when your baby refuses to settle down, and more importantly, what you can do about it.
So get comfy, grab a cup of coffee, or maybe something a little stronger, and let's get started. Okay, Edna, let's jump right in. This whole night owl thing, it feels like such a common label for babies, doesn't it? But what if we're misinterpreting their cues?
Totally, Tim. It's so easy to jump to that conclusion, especially when you're exhausted yourself. But from my experience with families in early sleep-deprived months, labeling a baby a night owl can sometimes mask the real issue, which could be a mismatch between their needs and their environment.
So what's the first step in figuring out whether it's a true sleep pattern or just plain boredom?
It's all about understanding the difference between tired and overstimulated cues. That's key.
Okay, walk us through that. What does a tired cue look like versus an overstimulated cue?
Well, tired cues are the classic ones we all know or think we know. You know, the yawning, eye rubbing, maybe a little fussiness.
The I'm about to melt down look, right?
Exactly. But overstimulated cues can be trickier. Think about arching their back, turning away from you, clenching their fists, sometimes even frantic movements. It can look like they don't want to sleep when really they're just overwhelmed.
That's a great point, Edna. I've seen so many parents at the daycare misinterpret those cues, and then they try to stimulate the baby more, thinking that will help, when it's actually the opposite of what the baby needs. I remember a mom we worked with. She was convinced her baby was just never tired because she was always moving.
Oh, I know that situation well. And what happens? They get even more wired, and then everyone is miserable. You know, it's like when you've had way too much caffeine and you're jittery but exhausted at the same time, except, you know, baby version.
Baby version is way less fun. So we've identified the cues. What's next?
Time for what I like to call the boring method, although it's much more strategic than it sounds.
The boring method. I love it. Tell me more.
It's essentially a 15-minute ritual before every nap and bedtime, designed to wind things down. The goal is to create a calming, predictable transition that signals to the baby that it's time to sleep.
Okay, 15 minutes. That sounds manageable, even for sleep-deprived parents. What does this ritual look like?
Consistency is the name of the game here, Tim. It could be a bath, dimming the lights, reading a simple book. Emphasis on simple, no loud noises or flashing lights, or even singing the same calming song. The repetition is key.
So it's about creating a predictable pattern that signals sleep is coming.
Exactly. Think of it like Pavlov's dogs, but instead of salivating, your baby drifts off to dreamland. Hopefully.
Hopefully. And what if they start fussing during the ritual?
That's where patience comes in, which, let's be honest, is often in short supply for new parents. Resist the urge to pick them up immediately. Try gentle shushing, a light touch on their tummy, or a soft lullaby. Give them a chance to self-soothe.
Right, because sometimes picking them up just reinforces the fussiness, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It can become a learned behavior. They quickly realize that fussing equals being picked up and entertained.
Okay, so we've covered the boring method. What about the nursery itself? I know you're a big advocate for creating a sleep-conducive environment, Edna.
Oh, absolutely. That's where eliminating sensory-heavy toys from the nursery environment comes in. It's a crucial part of this whole equation.
Sensory-heavy toys. You mean the ones with all the flashing lights and loud noises?
Exactly. Anything that's designed to stimulate their senses should be kept out of the sleep space. The nursery should be a haven of calm. Think muted colors, soft textures, and minimal distractions.
That makes sense. It's like creating a mini spa for your baby.
Precisely. And think about it from their perspective. They're constantly bombarded with stimulation throughout the day. The nursery should be a place where they can truly unwind and recharge. We always encourage our daycare families to ensure that rest is also a very active and important part of their day at home.
So no brightly colored mobiles with dancing animals over the crib.
As cute as those are, probably not the best idea. A simple, plain mobile that moves gently is a better option. Or even better, nothing at all.
Okay, point taken. Minimalism is key. Now, let's talk about white noise. It's practically a staple in every nursery these days. But you mentioned that it's only half the battle for high-needs infants. Why is that?
White noise can be a lifesaver, no doubt. It masks distracting sounds and creates a consistent, soothing environment. But for some babies, especially those who are particularly sensitive, it's not enough on its own.
So what's the other half of the battle?
It goes back to the sensory environment we were talking about earlier. White noise can help block out external noise, but it doesn't address internal overstimulation.
Ah, so it's about creating a holistic calming environment, not just masking the noise.
Exactly. Think about layering different calming techniques. White noise, swaddling, a dark room, and the boring method we talked about earlier.
So if the baby is still struggling to settle down with white noise, it might be time to reevaluate the entire sleep environment and routine.
Definitely. It could be that they're too hot or too cold, that their diaper is uncomfortable, or that they're simply not tired enough. Or, going back to the beginning, they're overstimulated.
It's like detective work, isn't it? Trying to decipher what's really going on with your baby.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes you need to bring in a consultant. We regularly recommend this to our parenting coaching clients. Having a fresh set of eyes can make a huge difference.
That's a great point. Sometimes you are just too close to the situation.
It's hard to be objective when you're running on fumes.
So, just to recap, we talked about differentiating between tired and overstimulated cues, implementing the 15-minute boring method, creating a minimalist nursery environment, and understanding the limitations of white noise.
And remembering that every baby is different. What works for one might not work for another. It's all about experimentation and finding what resonates with your little one.
Absolutely. And being kind to yourself in the process. This parenting gig is tough, and sleep deprivation makes it even tougher.
You got that right. Remember that seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness. There are so many resources available to support parents through these early stages.
Okay, Edna, this has been incredibly helpful. I think a lot of parents are going to breathe a sigh of relief knowing that their night owl might just be a bored little bean.
I hope so. And remember, consistency and patience are your best friends in this journey.
Okay, everyone, let's wrap things up with some key takeaways. Edna, what are the three most important things parents should remember from our conversation today?
Okay, here we go. First, learn to distinguish between your baby's tired and overstimulated cues. Don't always assume fussiness means tiredness. Second, implement a calming pre-sleep routine like the boring method to signal bedtime. And third, create a minimalist, sensory-friendly sleep environment.
Excellent points. And remember, white noise is a great tool, but it's not a magic bullet. Focus on creating a holistic, calming environment.
And finally, don't be afraid to ask for help. Whether it's from a friend, family member, or professional, support is out there.
So true. Okay, folks, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in to the Rising Parent Podcast. We hope this episode has shed some light on the mysteries of baby sleep and helped you unlock your little one's sleep secrets.
And remember, if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the Rising Parent podcast and leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us reach more parents who are looking for support.
You can also visit our website at risingparent.org for other helpful resources. And we really want to make the episodes you want to hear. So please send us your episode requests. We will make an episode just for you if you'd like.
Thanks again for listening. Until next time, keep rising.